Stand by for the Dollar Doctors coming up next on KB Radio. While Willard and Peter warm up their computers, a reminder that for years, the Dollar Doctors have presented free, useful workshops describing their supply and demand approach to the market. Many have attended these strictly educational workshops and have learned about this methodology that's been around for 100 years and works as well today as ever. The Dollar Doctors use this supply and demand method to help determine the probable future trend of any stock or mutual fund. Over the years, hundreds of attendees have used this method to better make unemotional decisions on when to buy and when to sell. You may be among those who, while listening to the Dollar Doctors, have watched the very charts they're discussing. The supply and demand method has many advantages, but one disadvantage, it does require vigilance and can be time-consuming if you really want to feel that you're on top of your assets. That's why, over time, some of Willard and Peter's listeners have asked them to manage their investment portfolios as well as their 401ks. Sapriston Asset Management now manages investments for several hundred clients who found it comforting to know that Sapriston Asset Management is watching over their financial well-being and who feel a time-consuming burden's been lifted from their shoulders. If you've ever considered having Sapriston Asset Management help you with your investment decisions, you can easily get full information with no obligation by calling Peter or Willard at 854-7541. They'll be glad to inform you of the many ways they can help. That phone number again, 716-854-7541, or call toll-free at 800-879-7541. And now here are the Dollar Doctors.
Good morning and welcome to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Sapriston Asset Management, member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. I'm Peter Greco.
Good morning, Peter. David Brownstein, how you doing?
Okay. On this nice Saturday morning, where the temperature is going to be hot again today, right?
It's another hot one, baby.
Hope, thank God, next week into the 70s, where it should be.
There you go.
Matter of fact, you know, I've kind of figured out if I could find a religion whose God promised that the weather would always be 75 during the day and 50 at night, I'd join that religion right away, believe me.
Well, you just got to go to Reno.
Reno? Is that the temperature there?
Yeah, I've got a couple clients there, and they just, it's always 75 and sunny. It's
unbelievable.
Like, the majority of the time, yeah. That's the only thing I know about it. But then,
yeah, I mean, I'm just not a fan of these hot and humid days up near 90 at all, that's for sure.
I know, humid.
But now that we've done the weather show.
Yeah, very good.
I'm Peter Greco.
Forecast.
And you are who?
David Brownstein.
Very good. And it's Saturday, August 20th, 2016, 10:05 in the morning. And we always say 10:05 in the morning because the show is rebroadcast on this station, ESPN 1520, at midnight, unless there's a sporting event. And if there's a sporting event, the show should be on right after the sporting event. Also, the show is available live streaming at our website, sapriston.com, although I think somebody called in and said live streaming doesn't seem to be working today.
Hmm.
Oh, it is. Okay. Yeah, but our producer says it is. So live streaming is working. So apparently whoever it is has a computer problem, you know. And, you know, what I tell people, try a different browser, you know. Sometimes some of these different browsers get rather flaky. And if you're using Internet Explorer, switch to Mozilla or switch to Google Chrome, you know, and maybe then you'll get the live streaming at sapriston.com, S-A-P-E-R-S-T-O-N.com. Also, you should be able to connect on most devices that do connect to the Internet. Also at the website, all of our shows are archived. You can catch any of our shows, usually sometime over the weekend when they are on the archive site, although it seemed like they were a little late last time because somebody emailed and said, where's the August 13th show? So, you know, every once in a while there is a problem, but usually the archive shows are there very quickly. And if you miss a show, you want to replay a show, you can go to the website and listen to the archive show. And then finally, at the website, bright and early, every Saturday morning, there's a free economic report by Stone and McCarthy. Brief, to the point, understandable for economists, which is rare. So
yeah,
we do encourage you, you know, to go to the website, sapriston.com, S-A-P-E-R-S-T-O-N.com.
Yeah, it goes through, Pete, this week, the jobs report again and the expectation a bit on the Fed, and talks about productivity and, you know, going back to the start of the recession. So it's a very interesting read.
Well, it's interesting, too, because in this weekend's Barron's is Stephanie Pomeroy, who's been a little bearish for a while, mm-hmm. kind of debunks the whole employment report and says mm-hmm. it's kind of looking, you know, backwards mm-hmm. and that all the other data she's looking at says things are slowing down. So right. we shall see, you know, what turns out to be right. Right
well,
now,
we've been saying it.
Yeah, give us a phone call. The numbers to call are 803-1520. That's 803-1520. Or toll-free, 800-879-7541. And as usual, all the phone lines are wide open, very easy to get in this time of the morning. So do give us a call. Okay, first we're going to go to Bob in Buffalo. Good morning.
Morning, guys.
How
morning,
are you?
Hanging in there.
I was wondering, what happened to August 2nd anyway?
Yeah, nothing, except Obama gave $400 million in cash to the Iranians.
Well, they call that something different now.
Yeah, I know.
It wasn't, you know.
Nothing happened.
I added that to all the terms he doesn't understand, okay?
Right.
He doesn't understand what illegal immigrant means. He doesn't understand, you know, what ransom or incentive, what they called it. I forgot the term they called it, but they didn't call it a ransom, you know. It was an inducement, or I don't know what they called it.
They used it as an the ability to get those hostages out.
Yeah.
They had already decided to pay the money, but they forced them to let them go in order to get the money.
Right, yeah, I know. A technicality.
But if that's true, why would you give $400 million in foreign currency?
Well, they can't deal with them and I'm not an expert, but they can't deal with them using U.S. currency because we don't have a relationship. The thing I'm more upset about is they left a few of our people over there.
Right.
That's what's
so,
upset.
But that wasn't a major event. That was just business.
No, it wasn't. But I'm surprised you didn't come up with, you know, usually when, you know, financial astrologists or astrologists pick a date, you can always find something in the world that happened that was bad,
right? You know? Well, I was just being honest.
Well, I appreciate that.
And I still think gold's going to close right around 1400 at the end of the year. So
right around 14.
But now you were mentioning God.
I know that
guy.
You do, huh?
And it was the title of my painting I told you about in that group show downtown.
Oh, that's right.
And it actually sold.
Holy cow.
Yeah, I was surprised about that.
Well, now you know what you have to do.
Yeah, exactly. But I wanted to call, or I tried to call you last week, but
uh-huh.
every time I called, the line was busy.
That's interesting.
Hmm. You know, even when there was nobody on the air and you were saying that there was no callers on the air.
We might have had temporary problems, you know.
Yeah,
that we didn't know about. Usually our producer does know that there's a problem, you know.
Right.
So.
But anyways, I called about NAK.
NAK. That one gives me a headache. I am so upset because we talked on the radio and I explained why 44 cents was such a great buy point, right?
Yeah.
And did I buy it? No.
And it went to $1.05.
Oh, my God. Don't even tell me that.
3 weeks.
I was so upset when it was 58 cents.
Well, it pulled back a little bit, and the reason why it pulled back is I bought some more.
Oh, yeah.
Closed at 89 cents.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah,
that mean that 44, I was saying how perfect on the chart, you know, pullback. It was one of the very bullish chart patterns and perfect buy point.
Oh, I know.
And I'm an idiot. But anyway.
No, you're not an idiot.
Well, semi-idiot.
Oh, let him beat himself
Don't
up.
Don't buy any more now because it'll go down.
Yeah, well, that's for sure. No, like I said, I mean, I could have bought it at 58 cents, right? And I would have been happy. So, but that's only for fun money, you know.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Well, that's
and that was for myself, you know.
Right.
So you got to watch out because those regulators, you know.
I can imagine.
Yeah, oh, yeah. We don't even want to get into that.
Right.
I was just reading a book that got me more upset, you know. So,
oh,
you know, the intriguing part, as long as I'm on that, is that they mentioned how most people in the business now are afraid to say anything about any investment, give advice or anything, okay, because
right.
they're all over you, okay. Why'd you say that? You know, what was your reasoning? You know,
yeah, I know. It's nuts.
You know, it's totally nuts, but, okay, you've got all these third-party people who are not financial advisors or anything, And they can publish anything they want on companies, okay? And they can say all the glowing things in the world. I'm sure you've gotten emails or...
No, I don't. I don't have any technical device.
Well, there you go. But anyway, they publish all these great articles and these great research reports, and they do have the fine print that we were paid to say this.
Claim,
you know,
right.
And that's not regulated, right? You can do that, you know. So the trick is, I guess, to become an unadvisor, you know, so you're not regulated.
Well, when you retire, you could do that.
There you, that's what I'm going to do, and then I can say anything I want to say.
Exactly.
Right.
But all my other stocks, HL, HMY, they're all holding up pretty good.
Yeah, they had a nice run.
And I heard HMY was going to start giving out a dividend again.
Unbelievable. A little gold stock like that giving out a dividend.
But
I'll
you know,
tell
you. The PE on that stock is only 6.
You're kidding me, really?
No.
Usually they don't even have a PE.
Yeah, I know. I went looking, searching around the net when I heard they were going to give out a dividend, and I found that on one of the, you know,
like forward PE. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
So I'm just holding in there because it's just small potatoes for me, but I'm having fun.
Well, it's interesting because I heard this very well-respected financial astrologist, right? Or I don't know how you call it, you know. But he uses the planets, right?
Oh, okay.
This guy Ray Merriman, you may have heard of him. Okay.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, yeah. Look it up sometime. He's very well-respected.
Ray
Merriman, Merriman.
Oh, yeah, I will.
Yeah, look that up. It's very interesting. And, you know, he's done a lot of good things, you know, with the way he works with, you know, what he works with, you know, from a lot, you know, people, whoa, what is he talking about, the planets, you know. But anyway, and his prediction for this year on goal was that it would run between 1,300 and 1,500.
Okay. Oh, so I'm right in the middle.
Yeah, and on silver, okay, between 21 and 26. And I don't think it's quite gotten up to 21 yet, you know. But.
No, it did. It touched 21.
Oh, did it? Okay, yeah.
And so, then it retreated back to 19
right.
something.
Right, okay. So anyway, just for our entertainment.
Right, exactly. Yeah, but it's as good as anything else.
Oh, I agree with you. I totally agree.
But that's funny. The people that rule the world, they use that stuff and they use numerology. That's why, you know, that's
oh,
not
yeah.
totally
Was it,
my
the,
idea.
The,
but
didn't J.P. Morgan, he had a quote on it, didn't he?
Yeah, he's one of the criminals and all the
right.
relations. all his family members since then, you know.
Well, I think Ronald Reagan used astrology, too, didn't he?
Yeah, well, we won't talk about any of
the presidents. Okay, but anyway, we don't want to get political again, right?
So. I'm just a watcher, a bystander when it comes to that. Because I don't like anybody.
Well, I think, you know, I'm in agreement. The political system is shot. And, you know, it's interesting. If you get Barron's by any chance?
No.
Well, if you do get a chance, Howard Marks did a beautiful piece. He's from Oak Tree.
Okay.
And wide-ranging, and I think it would open people's eyes to a lot of different things, you know, the political system,
right.
The economy, and so forth and so on, okay? And the interesting part about it, you know, he was talking about the politics and so forth. He says, hey, you know, presidential elections are popularity contests, right?
Yeah.
And all, yeah, it doesn't matter. He said, he mentioned, Mondale when he ran.
Right.
And Mondale went out and said, you know, Reagan's going to raise taxes, and I'm going to raise taxes, but Reagan won't tell you that he's going to raise taxes, but I'm telling you the truth. I'm going to raise taxes, right?
Uh-huh.
And he lost 59 to 41.
Right. Didn't Mondale also promise everybody $1,000?
Yeah, I think he did. Yeah, I think he did. But it's intriguing that, you know, if people tell you the truth, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Or they promise anything without, and he mentions the economics of everything. He says economics rules everything. And he says,
right.
You know, if you're going to do this, then what's the effect here, you know?
Exactly.
So if everybody's going to get this, who's going to get hurt, right?
Right.
And so forth and so on. And then he was talking about the political system and the districting system, which is all set to, you know, like every 10 years, I guess, they take a census, and
uh-huh.
the party in power can redefine the district lines
right.
for voting.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
they mentioned in California where what they did was, I think it was one of the states, whatever it was, maybe California, that they managed to redistrict it so that 51% of the people who voted, all right, were put in one spot. You know, so in other words, all the other districts were the ones that voted, and they got 18 representatives for their party, even though the majority voted the other way, right? But they were all clumped into one or two districts. So people don't realize the way this political system works. You know,
well, that's on my answering machine right now. I have the wisdom of the month.
Uh huh.
And it's got people who believe anything except the truth.
Hey, very true. That's exactly true.
Can't handle the truth.
Nope, they cannot. They don't want to know the truth.
No, they can't. So.
And they don't want to think two steps down the road.
I'm not talking about telling your wife she needs to lose weight either.
Uh-oh. Gee.
Well, I got rid of all my wives, so. They were a burden. Anyways, guys, great talking to you.
Oh, thank you.
And for all your listeners, NAK.
Okay, take care.
Bye,
thanks
guys.
For calling. Okay. Phone numbers to call. Phone lines are wide open again, 803-1520. That's 803-1520. Toll free, 800-879-7541. That's 800-879-7541. We're going to go next to Bill in the Trump Tower in New York City. Good morning.
Hey, AOP, you know what that last conversation made me think of?
What's that?
You remember Arch Crawford?
Oh, yeah.
You remember Arch? Arch made a couple of big-time calls, and then he made, I think after that he wasn't so good, but I think he had a big turning point in August 82.
Right.
Remember Arch? He would be on, boy, that was, I totally forgot about him, but boy, that was the days of the superstar technicians. Remember that?
Oh, no. Well, it was also the days of, what was it, FNN?
Yeah.
The FNN Financial News Network.
Oh.
It was great.
My wife thought I was a lunatic because I come up from work and have to catch the last hour. Bollinger would be sitting there, Ed Hart, those two now they're at CNBC. I gotta tell you, just for it, that was you couldn't get a better network for finance.
It was
no fluff. Wait,
it was true. People don't realize how great it was, and CNBC's a joke compared to that. You know,
CNBC's
so
terrible. But you know what?
Crawford's still around.
Is he?
Yeah.
Really?
He got a thing called Crawford Perspectives. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Boy.
Wow, Arch Crawford. I used to love those guys: Stan Weinstein, Justin Mamus,
yep.
Arch Crawford.
There you go. And they used to have all those people on.
And you know what? You know Bob Farrell is still around. Did you know that?
Bob Farrell from Merrill Lynch, huh?
Yeah.
I don't think
he's there anymore.
No, he's not there.
Not
but yeah.
He isn't. He's on his own, but. You know what? Somebody had his 10 euphemisms, and I read those things. That guy, wow. You know what? I saw your old fart here, but geez, those guys, you don't have those guys.
I was going to say, they don't make them like that anymore. You know, that's for sure.
The market was fun then. You didn't lose money. The crash 87 stuff. But you know what? This week, when I heard that if you make $10 million a year, and you're worth between $200 and $400 million. You're not rich. How is that possible, Pete? Tell me.
I do not know. That's beyond my bet. Yeah.
How does that woman throw fingers at the rich constantly when they have enriched themselves by some incredible number? You know, you have to explain living. Mario Cuomo was a public guy his whole life, right? How did he leave a fortune of $15 million when he died? Can you explain that to me?
Gifts.
He's not here. I mean, well, unless he was the greatest stock picker of all time, how can you accrue that much money in public life? It's impossible. And nobody questions anything from these people. Nobody.
Neither side of the press, Bill. Neither side of the press questions the ability to do insider trading up until 3 or 4 years ago in Congress was allowed. They were allowed to trade on the information they got. It's like the redheaded stepchild. Nobody wanted to talk about it.
It's just amazing. But this political season, I'm ashamed to be a Republican. I really am. I don't even want to know from nothing. The only hope you have for a country here is that Trump doesn't get destroyed in the election, and somehow they manage to keep the Senate in the House so she can't run roughshod. But God forbid, if the Senate and the House go over, I'm going to tell you,
you just don't
want to be around. It's going to be a something like you will not believe, because if you just look in the last year. But hey, the only thing I'll say about Trump, I'm not a fan, is I'm glad he's getting destroyed right now, because he probably can't go any lower, and she probably can't get any higher. It's probably going to get closer as the election nears, and maybe that'll save the Senate and the House. Yeah, that's the only thing I'm thinking.
Well, it goes to show you what the country thinks of her when, after all of that, the most she's up in any poll is 9%.
That's it. And you know what somebody said? My shoe could beat her in election. I mean, really, she is the worst candidate ever. And they always say he's not president material. Listen to her. Oh, my God. She's got she has no inflection in her voice. You know what I mean? She's like a monotone that yells. Wow. I mean, look at Reagan, the way he spoke
to
her. Holy mackerel, what a difference. But Pete, I'll give you one thing on the market.
Okay, let's get back to the market, right?
I think up 5%, you want to be a seller, and down 5%, you want to be a buyer. That's what it looks like to me. I think there's no crash scenario here, I think most of that stuff is in the market. I think you had your last crash from Brexit. I want to accumulate AT&T right here. I want to buy the good dividend paying, really good companies here on this big pullback. And just go from there. What do you think about the market here?
Well, I mean, I tell people don't even think about the market. You know. In other words,
right.
Just look at individual stocks and sectors. You know, that's it. You know, because worrying about the market's gotten everybody no place at all, right?
Yeah, tell Woods, be careful on DP. You want to put a stop around 29.5. You don't want it down there. The chart looks pretty good. It might go to 40, but I wouldn't write it down another leg. Come down three times here, BP, with that big dividend. So, listen, no matter what, the country's going to survive, and Pete, you're going to survive, too.
I appreciate that.
Thanks, Bill.
You take care, friend.
Thanks for calling. Okay, take care. Okay, phone numbers to call, 803-1520. That's 803-1520, or toll-free, 800-879-7541. 800-879-7541. Lines are still wide open, very easy to get in. And you could actually talk stocks and, the market on this show. So do give us a call.
And I think Bill was inside Trump Tower, not outside, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Yeah. He wasn't one of the climbers.
There you go.
We're going to go next to Lou in Hamburg. Good morning.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Okay.
Good morning, are you? Good. How you doing?
Hey, so upon my return last night from the Seneca Allegheny Casino to see the Chicago concert, which was great. Just great. What a band.
Yeah,
I turn on the TV and they're doing the rerun of the Wall Street Week that's now on Fox, and I was struck by the fact that they were basically saying that many of the smart money hedge fund managers are getting into gold right now as a hedge because they really think the market is overbought. And so I guess that was my question, because I never consider gold in my investment portfolio at all. Now, they didn't say whether it was gold stocks or I don't know what tool hedge fund managers use, And then I guess number two to that, and then I'll hang up and listen, Jason the silver guy, did we ever determine how he keeps his silver? In other words, does he keep the silver in safe deposit boxes or in his home or, you know what I mean? Because I know he said he...
I don't think if it's in his home, he wants to say that. But
yeah. Well, it'd be interesting if he calls. I'm just curious because
right.
There is some kind of carrying cost. But give me your thoughts on the gold as a hedge against the overbought stock market, and I'd appreciate it.
Okay.
Thanks,
thank you very much
Great
for calling.
Show.
Okay. Thanks a lot. Appreciate
it.
Okay, I did see that about the hedge funds, and you know, my first thought was hedge funds have been doing relatively poorly now. A lot of them have been getting redemption, so I said maybe I shouldn't pay attention to what the hedge funds are doing, you know. But I am somewhat a fan of gold in the sense that yeah, you should have a portion, you know, of an account. You know, in gold or silver or whatever, or the ETFs that have the gold stocks, that type of thing, because basically, as long as interest rates stay low, you're going to have a problem in the gold area if they start raising interest rates, because as you may notice, gold sells off as soon as somebody starts talking, you know, from the Fed about interest rates, raising interest rates. And, because gold doesn't pay anything and there's a carrying cost, as you mentioned, you know, to
right.
store it and so forth and so on. So basically, as an opportunity cost of interest rates go up, people tend to move out of gold. But, you know, right now, you know, gold has gone up a long way. You know, I'm not surprised to see it kind of consolidating in here. And, you know, during the consolidation, picking up a little bit of either a gold stock, but more likely either a gold fund, a gold ETF, so you have more diversification, or, one of the silver ETFs, you might look at something like that, or, you know, some of the silver stocks, that type of thing, the bigger name companies, you know, the Silver Wheatons out there, the SSRI, it's a symbol, Silver Wheaton SLW, but take a look at it and make sure you have a plan, don't just jump in. You know, do an analysis of those particular positions and see where a good point may be, or just buy a little bit, and if they come down, buy a little bit more, but don't make it a big percentage of your portfolio.
Right, and then you got to decide if you're a trader mm-hmm. or an investor.
Right.
And, you know, determine what vehicle to use, and that you can do by, you know, doing your own research and finding out what the benefits or negatives are of each. But, yeah, I think it's a good portion of a portfolio and some type of precious metal, and especially as an inflation hedge. But we haven't seen any inflation, and I don't
think
it hasn't really been.
You know, it's more the low interest rates. It's also a certain amount of political uncertainty out there, you know, uncertainty in the world. So it's a little bit of hedge. And usually, you know, after you've had such a big sell-off for a long period of time, that's why, you know, I think one of the ETFs, I forgot which one it was, was up 100-some-odd% already this year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, which sounds like a lot, but if you look at where it came from, you
right.
know, it hasn't even gotten back to where it came from, you know. So,
yeah, you got some gold mining stocks, too, or funds that are up, you know, 125%.
Oh, exactly.
But they
yeah.
were down 25% last year and down 30% the year before.
Yeah, before, and they've come down a long way. So they're kind of recouping, you know, some of the losses. But I think, you know, it does make sense to look at those areas and have a small percentage of the portfolio in it, unless you're a trader or whatever, or somebody who can handle concentrated positions and knows what they're doing. There aren't a lot of people like that, you know.
Right.
So did we answer that? That was his question, right?
Yeah.
The gold? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Right now. Our friend woke up, Jason from Cherry Creek. Lou, here's Jason from Cherry Creek. Good morning.
Woke up. You say that every time, Peter.
I know you.
I live in the country.
You're working hard out there, I know.
Yeah, still got a pleasant demeanor, though. There's immeasurable reasons on why to do gold or silver. I mean, you have insurance for every aspect of your life, your car insurance, your life insurance, you know, house insurance. Health insurance for something you want to pay for to poison you every month. That's, you know, whatever mm-hmm. people's choice is. But the insurance of gold and silver is basically your insurance against currency devaluation, you know, which may be good now or 10 years ago or whatever, but it's always the possible scenario. And you have to admit, central banks have actually done an ingenious job in preventing inflation. Even though all these trillions are actually out there and printed up and whatnot, they're not actually printed up. a lot of people don't know this, but only 3% of all U.S. dollars is in currency and coin form. 97% of it is just digital entry. Did you know that?
Nope.
It's true. I mean, think about it. You can't have a hyperinflation situation if you only have 3% of it in actual currency and coin form.
That I didn't know. Yeah, that I didn't know.
It's interesting. That blew my mind when I first read it, because if you think about trillions and trillions of dollars, it's all just digital entries, you know what I mean, for bond buying and this and that. So, you know, that's why governments, you know, people always talk about, well, that's costing us taxpayers. It's not really how any of it works in the system. There's always new issuance of bonds to raise money to pay for everything, and none of the bonds ever get paid off. They always just get basically recycled, and the interest is only paid. I mean, 65% of all taxes collected pay just the interest on what we've already borrowed over time. I mean, if that was you or me or our business, we would be out of business. We would be insolvent at those type of rates. You know, 65% of our income pays just the minimum payment on your credit card, for people to think of it in their own value. But, yeah, I mean, gold and silver, honestly, you know I love it. And to answer your question, you don't pay no storage fees. You keep it yourself. The whole point of having that insurance is to have a physical bullion in your hand and in your possession, and there's lots of places to put it. So you would never want to pay, and I don't trust it anyway. I mean, with reapothecation and things of that nature, the same 1 ounce of gold that all these banks are buying gold is pledged over 100 times over to every other bank. So there is a serious shortfall of actual physical gold and silver than what's being played on, and people don't realize that. So if there ever is a true market situation or collapse or bond trouble, you're going to see a lot of people try to call in that physical gold and silver, and then you'll just see prices go to the moon, because anyone who actually has the physical gold and silver, you know, he who has the gold, he is he who make the rules, the golden rule, that whole thing. So that's pretty much where that comes from.
So where should people keep their silver, though? If they
there's a million places. Yeah, I'm not going to tell you where I keep mine.
Oh, no, I know that.
But I'll tell you what, I will say this. I'm a mason, okay? I deal with rocks and foundations and things like that. People have so many spots in their basement where you can, you know, they hollow out a little cavity behind a rock or put in a false cinder block. These things stay fireproof, where your house can actually burn down. No one's even going to know it's there. And believe it or not, you actually got to trick the firemen, too. Because if your house burns down, you are not allowed into your place, and firemen can take in or out anything they want. Safety deposit boxes are not safe as well. The contents of a safety deposit box are not insured.
Maybe you can keep gold. I know you're not supposed to keep currency. I can't remember what the rules are. I'm an ex-banker, but it goes back so long I can't remember, and I know it's changed. But you're not supposed to keep, you know, certain things in the safe deposit box. People do.
Oh, yeah. And I just, the safety, I mean, once again, what happens if there's ever an economic situation or collapse? You have no access to the bank. Banks take what I consider a fun term, a holiday. They have a bank holiday, and banks don't reopen until things get resettled, revalued, and reopened, you know? So you always keep your gold and silver in your own physical possession, because that is your insurance. I mean, you worked your whole life to set aside nest eggs. And, yeah, I mean, obviously you guys know that I prefer that as my main investment as opposed to any type of equities. Although I do want you guys to start a position, Peter and Vixie, V-I-X-Y, your whole point is to buy low and sell high. You're not going to see it much lower than where it is. You know what I mean? And same thing with gold and silver. And when silver was 13, you got to shop for the things that are at value and nobody seems to want at these levels. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, there's no question that volatility has gotten extremely low. What did it get down to? The VIX got down to, 11 or something? Very low.
And did you ever pull up? The chart only on VIXI only goes back 5 years, and the last time we had a little bit of strife was 2011. I think that'll still pull it up, and that went up to 400. You know, it went from like 10 to 400. Look at the chart; it's just a dog. It just sits there, you know, low and stagnant at these levels. It did pretty good last year. You know what I mean? You could have made some quick doubles on.
Well, it's not something to buy and hold. I mean, you know.
Yeah, but that's nice, because it's hard to play the short side of the market without losing money on.
Oh, exactly. I'm looking like earlier this year it was at 102, and now it's at 30, right?
What is VIX?
VIXY. VIXY. Yeah.
No, Vixie's lower than that, isn't it?
Is it?
Vixie.
I thought it was two, and I'm looking. I don't know if they did some kind of reverse split.
They might have done something because
I thought
is ProShares VIX short-term futures ETF. Vixie is trading at 30 right now.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, they must have done a split on that or whatever.
I'm thinking, because I know during the show I was looking at it one time. I thought it was $9 or $11, something like that.
Well,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of good. Take some out of the float there, then you'll have a little bit more increase. Because I told you before, remember the VIX itself would go up, 2 or 4%, and then Vixie was trading at half that volume, or half that on the increase. So, yeah, either way. But as for physical gold and silver, man, you're always better off keeping a little bit. Plus, it's always good in a pinch. I mean, there's always situations that arise. A lot of times people can't access money in their retirement accounts without hitting big fees. You got some gold or silver around, all of a sudden, you need a new roof or something like that, and real quick. Why borrow that money in interest when you have it and you've already made money on it? You know what I mean?
Yeah, they did a reverse split.
I love my silver, but I don't fall in love with it. I sold out a lot of my silver at 33 and began repicking it back up when it started going back up to like 15, 16. So
they did a reverse split on the VIXI, a 3-for-1 in July.
Ah, see,
so
I haven't even picked it up.
That'd
myself,
be 10
my
bucks, right? I knew I saw it at night. Okay.
So does that make it more attractive for you guys now? Because I know you'll never buy VIXI, but you really should.
I'm sure the day I buy it, it'll go the wrong way. So.
Well, I'll let you gentlemen get to some other callers. Thanks for waking me up. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Good morning. Take care.
Bye.
Okay, phone numbers to call, 803-1520. That's 803-1520. Toll free, 800-879-7541. Phone lines are wide open. And while we're waiting for calls, we will take a quick one-minute break.
You are listening to The Dollar Doctors. Every Saturday morning, live from 10 to 11, Willard Saperston and Peter Greco of Saperston Asset Management answer your questions about stocks, bonds, and mutual funds. The Dollar Doctors are heard live every Saturday morning on ESPN 1520 Buffalo. Their shows are also available 24/7 at saperston.com. Years of previous shows are available there. The Dollar Doctors shows also rebroadcast Saturday night at midnight. If you'd like to have Saperston Asset Management evaluate your portfolio and discuss management services, you can contact Willard or Peter by calling in Buffalo 854-7541 or toll-free 800-879-7541. Again, in Buffalo, 854-7541, toll-free 800-879-7541. Now back to the Dollar Doctors.
Welcome back to the Dollar Doctor Show, brought to you by Saperston Asset Management, member FINRA, SIPC, registered with the MSRB and an RIA. RIA means we are registered investment advisors. We do manage money for people. We have a number of different managed type accounts, based on risk profile and, what goals you have and so forth, and your what you're looking for in terms of your temperament, that type of thing, and your risk tolerance, as I mentioned before. And we can set up managed programs. We also do manage pension plans, 401ks, 403bs that are not held at our firm, and we're able to do that for you. So if you do have a plan, they've become more complicated with so many different originally, people complained there weren't a lot of investment choices. Now they give you tons of investment choices, and nobody can figure out what to do. So, if you are interested sometime maybe in talking to us about money management services, you can go to the website. All of our contact information is there. And we are also a stock brokerage firm, so you can have your account here, and you have access to us all the time, to kind of run your ideas by us and ask advice and that type of thing. So, do check the website out if you'd like to contact us. Right now, phone numbers to call are 803-1520. That's 803-1520 or toll free 800-879-7541.
And Peter, I was mistaken, just doing a little research during the break. Apparently there is no restriction on the amount of money, gold, or even guns that you can store in a safe deposit box. I thought there was. And the amount of currency that's actually in circulation is about 14%. It's 1.46 trillion out of the 10.5 trillion U.S. dollars in circulation. So.
Yep. Well, there you go. Someday they may put the restrictions back on. You may never know.
You never know.
Right now, looking at the market, it was a flat week in the market. The average has hardly budged.
Groundhog Day.
Yeah. I mean, the strongest average was the Russell 2000, which was up like 0.5%.
And, you know, it's actually up almost 9% for the year, you know. And I've not been noticing, you know, a lot of lower-priced stocks making big runs. I don't know if that's good or bad, you know. Sometimes people get worried when there's a lot of speculation going on in these lower-priced stocks. And although over the years I kind of like it when, you know, the NASDAQ and the Russell are leading the way. The NASDAQ has not been leading the way this year, but it's really come back from a big deficit, you know, earlier in the year. And I think probably since the Brexit opportunity, which turned out to be an opportunity, it's probably outperformed the other averages, you know. Both the Russell and the NASDAQ probably have beaten, I think they've both beaten the Dow and the S&P on this rally, you know, that they've moved up on. So, also this week, be aware that everybody is waiting with bated breath for Janet Yellen, you know, for her annual meeting at Jackson Hole, you know. And I forgot what day is that, the 26th, is it? Or can't think. I lost track of what day
it is. I know, we've been talking about it so much the last couple of weeks, I can't, I'm trying
to think
while you're talking.
It's sometime next week, I know that, 22nd through.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's later in the week, so it might be the 25th, 26th, so everybody will be focused on that. And I do
say...
And
what are they going to do? What are they going to do about interest rates? I mean, they let the notes out.
The bet right now is December, you know. So,
just like they did last year.
Yeah, so we shall see. You know, no question about it. So, but, you know, the Fed talking heads will make the market move one way or the other, you know, as they get out there and make comments. Right now, phone numbers to call, 803-1520 or toll-free, 800-879-7541. We'll go next to Dennis in Batavia. Good morning.
Ada.
Good morning.
David, how are you?
I'm good, sir. How are you doing?
Terrific. Peter, you there?
I'm here.
He's waiting with bated breath.
Bated breath.
Get a home run with deer.
Home run, huh?
Yeah.
Grand slam.
It was up 10 points, right?
Yep.
Unbelievable.
On bad earnings, so it's all on projections.
Yeah, that's why I always tell people, you know, don't pay attention to all that stuff. You know, it's you know, on bad earnings, there's a stock that went up 10 points. So.
Yeah, I was at it at the close.
You did, really?
Oh, yeah, 10 points, are you kidding me? Hit around.
Well, that was a perfect area, too, because that was the previous rally high. You know, it was up around 88.
It runs parallel to United Rental.
Well, it's almost interesting.
More Thursday when Merrill Lynch and somebody else raised United Rental, but I didn't have the nerve. Now, I'm back into Activision.
Yeah, I got out of that in the 20s.
I got out with you.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, I remember that.
We both voted at 20 and got out at 22.
Yep, brilliant move.
But I think now with the interest in that stupid game they're all playing all over, it'll renew interest
Pokemon.
In all those games.
Pokemon, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's interesting because that Brexit low was a beautiful opportunity. You know, the thing came down from 39 to 27 during that Brexit time, and now it's trading up around 40, 41, you know.
40. I'm in at 40 and a half.
Yeah. ATVI, Activision, yeah. Boy, I'll tell you, what a beautiful long-term chart on this one. This thing based for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years in the 10 to 12 range. And once it broke out, it's been up, up, and away.
What do you think you can get to? 45?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you wanted to believe the price objective on the chart, it's 58, okay?
Oh.
But, you know, if it has a run like it just had, which was like a 6-point run that turns from here, you're up to 46, you know.
I'll take that.
Yeah, so it's a reasonable target. You know, and I was mentioning to somebody, a lot of times, like you mentioned a stock, you know, United Rental, and I'll hear somebody later saying, I bought United Rental, and boy, that thing's down now or something. And, you know, I said, well, you know, you have to have a plan if you hear somebody mention something on the radio. You also got to recognize Dennis is very short term, you know.
I'm a gambler.
Right, yeah, exactly. You know, people...
I'm not in it. You know, I do have some... You know, I got AT&T and, you know, Procter & Gamble, you know.
Exactly, yeah. You have some investments, right?
Right, you know. If I live that long, they'll make money.
Which I've always said is a good way to do it. You know, a lot of people, you know, rather than take all their money and try to, you know, they have fun with all their money, you know, or try to have fun with all their money, or try
I'm
to make.
I'm taking this money. I'm going to Vegas next month.
Yep.
And this just paid for my trip.
Yeah. But a lot of people should keep, you know, the bulk of it in conservative investments and take a little money on the side, you know, for more aggressive if they want to, if they have that kind of temperament, you know.
What do you got the charts on the Trinity?
Yeah, that's been a nice slow grinder. You know.
Yeah, it's gone from 1850 up to 24, right?
Yeah, a slow 33% grinder. You know?
Yeah.
But looking at it, it just broke the down trend line. You know, it's got some resistance, you know, to chew through the people that got hung, you know,
right.
on the way down. But breaking the down trend line, I mean, your support's going to be in the 20 to 21 area. And Trinity's TRN, the symbol, just to mention it, but in the 2021 area. And, you know, could get up to $30.
Yeah, they just got another contract.
Yeah,
and like I told you during the week, they beat the case that was against them.
Yeah, that whole guardrail situation.
Yeah, that was thrown out.
Yeah, they threw that case out.
They're not going to get sued or, you know, anything like that.
Yeah, so that one looks good in here with, you know, 20 to 20. I wouldn't want to see it below 20, that's for sure, but, you know.
Oh, no, I won't be hanging around.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting about that deer, just looking back when you mentioned United Rental being upgraded by Bank America Merrill,
right.
A deer on the 31st of May was upgraded by UBS from neutral to buy, and their target price went from 82 to 94. But on the 29th of July, they downgraded it from buy to neutral, and they went from 94 to 80. And the stock closed, of course, at 87, up 10
right.
points on Friday. Just think
well,
about
that's
that.
Well, that's because they upgraded it, you know, and they were able to get out of their stock, right? So then it comes down a bit, and they downgrade it, right?
And you know,
there are no disinterested parties in the market, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah,
Piper Jaffray also downgraded the same day. So.
Yeah, one hedge fund guy buys, you know, 4 million shares of Activision, and another guy sells 3 million. So, you know, somebody's fooling around.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course, that's what makes the market, right? You know, when you buy, somebody sold it to you, right?
Yeah.
So
I'm getting killed in Bristol-Myers.
Oh, where is that now, anyway?
58-something.
Yeah, that's what we figured. 58 to 60 was an area. It better hold here.
Yeah, well, I'll take my loss and move on.
Yeah, I wouldn't like to see it, you know, drop to 57, you know. So
I bought it.
Yeah, my close 59.29.
Yeah, I mean, otherwise, I mean, this is a place for somebody to do some bottom fishing, you know. So
I bought it at 62. I figured, you know,
yeah.
Get down as far as. It
but
was
like
going.
I say, if you buy it, you know, if it drops to 57, then it could drop all the way down to 52. You know, at that point.
Wow. Well, it'll do it without me.
I'm sure that's the case.
All right.
Well, thank you very much for the call. Oh, I had a quick question. Somebody told me they heard that in New York City, to open a restaurant, you had to get 10 or 15 different licenses or something.
Oh, yeah. Now? Yeah, that's why I'm out of there.
Yeah, that's what I told them. That's what I told them.
Yeah, I watched a guy on TV the other day. He was some guy says, oh, I could open a business. And the guy says, I've opened 1,000 businesses. Say, I tell you what, I'll give you, you pick a business, I'll give you $1 million, you open it, and I bet you you'll be looking to shoot yourself in 2 weeks. with the things you got to, you'll need a lawyer, an accountant, a tax accountant. It's either Applebee, you see the guy, the general manager for all of them? Says, we haven't opened a store since Obamacare.
Yep, there you go. So
they don't want to expand, and they don't want to go in the medium size, the large ones, and it's a bureaucratic nightmare. Well,
bureaucratic stuff, and all of the things out there have kept businesses down, and nobody recognizes that.
And the minimum wage is costing us $5,000 an hour.
Wonderful.
You know, he says, that's why we're going to computers.
Sure. That's what they said. They'll do robots or computers to do the job.
Computers on the table. You come in, you put in your order, and the waiter or waitress brings the food. That's it.
That's it. Yep. Oh, well.
Now, instead of having 10 waiters and waitresses, I'll have 4.
Yep.
Same thing with McDonald's. You drive to the drive-in, you got a call center in the Philippines.
Yep. Well, let me go next to Victor, who is waiting.
All right. Talk to you later.
Okay.
Thanks,
take care. Thanks a lot.
Have a great weekend.
I'm glad we covered that. Go to Victor in Amherst. Good morning.
Hey, guys. As always, a very good show.
Thank you. Appreciate
it.
Stock I've been reading about, doing a lot of research on, and a stock I kind of like going for is Schwab, SCHW. If you look at your boxes, where would be a good point in your idea, estimation, to start accumulating this thing?
Well, it's run up to important resistance now for the third time at 30, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a buy every time it's dropped in the 24-25 area.
24-25, huh?
Right. I mean, you're not going to get there. And obviously, if you get to 31 or 32, it's a major breakout for it, you know?
If you look at the numbers on the actual companies that took a fundamental approach on this, everything is quite positive. I mean, with the trend in investing rapidly changing towards passive versus active, this company is coming out with these index funds that rival Vanguard as far as expenses.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're low, they're a dividend growth company. You know, and you can't invest in. My thoughts is that Vanguard obviously is not a publicly traded company. Schwab going forward, I mean, I think it would be somewhat of a takeover candidate. Also, I mean, its valuations are much. I did the S&P. Looked through S&P on the computer through one of my accounts, and it's very undervalued here.
Mm-hmm.
It's just it's in this base, and I was looking out to December to the 27 puts to sell, get a little bit of premium, but I'm saying start nibbling now in the 30 range, and you know you could always average down, but I think long term this is going to be a nice play. Have you done any research on a company? Are you pretty familiar with it?
No, I'm not. I mean, I'm familiar with them because they're a competitor, you know. But other than that, you know.
Am I well managed, you think?
I think they've been very well managed for years. You know, the what I do know about them, you know, and Charles Schwab's no slouch. Okay.
Right, right. Well, they're all in on the, you know, passive, and I think that if that continues to if the demographics continue to change towards passive, I think them and Vanguard are going to be the two big players, and you can't invest in Vanguard, so what's left?
That's right. No, you got a very good point. I mean, and interestingly,
elimination.
I mean, the chart's been going relatively sideways now for what? Almost close to 3 years, okay?
Right.
And now it just came down and retested the long-term uptrend line. So if it's going to go, it's going to be very soon, you know.
And then just dovetailing on Bill from Rochester's comments, what he says is definitely true. You watch the Lou Rukeyser and the type of people that he bring on most weeks.
Right.
The people, the Ralph Alcapani's, the Farrells, mm-hmm. And now you tune in to CNBC. You know, you get the Kardashian brothers. You get you know, all these other wannabes. And you don't know what their track record is. You know, they're always switching. They give you a play, and then they always claim, "Well, I've been out of it for 3 weeks."
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I mean, they're promoting something. Yeah. All right, guys. Great show.
Well, thank you very much for calling.
Okay.
Appreciate the call.
Thanks, Victor.
Okay. All right. Well, we're down to the last two and a half minutes of the show. He brought up the point again. You know, do your own research. If you do hear, you know, ideas from any place, you get. You know, you should be get ideas. You know, always, you know, look around for who's recommending something. You can get stuff out of Barron's. You can get stuff all over the internet. But
there's
make sure
enough information out there.
Yeah, but once you do that, make sure you know what you're doing. Don't just say, "Oh, this guy said this is great. Jump in," right?
Yeah.
Make sure you know you have an investment plan, you have an investment approach, you know. Otherwise, you know, you're going to own something, and just like he said, maybe weeks later the person, "Oh, we got out of that months ago," you know, and you're left holding it and say, "What? He said that was a great investment." Well, every one of the professional people don't hold anything forever, you know, and
right.
and they all have different trading styles, investment styles, and so, you know, if you bought something and you don't know why you bought it other than somebody recommended it, and then you don't know what to do with it after that, you may have a problem. So always be very careful about that, no question about it.
Yeah. You know, one thing about the economy, too, Peter, and you and I have talked a little bit about it, we continue to hear how, you know, people say that the economy has been so good over the last 8 years, and they continue. And they
let me try to get Ed real quick.
Oh, David. Go ahead,
yeah.
Buddy.
Ed, yeah, let me try to. You only got about 2 minutes at most. Hello.
Yes, I'm surprised nobody brought up Corrections Corporation or GEO Group, which did a fantastic dive this week.
Yeah, because they're going to go away from private prisons.
No, well, so what? They only have maybe 10% or less of their portfolio in that particular group.
Right, yeah. But
they just signed contracts that extended it for at least 2 years.
Yeah, but it's always, you know, the reaction, which, what was the symbol on that?
GEO.
GEO.
And CXW.
Yeah. But, you know, GEO really came back.
I know.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it created an opportunity. Matter of fact, if you looked at a chart, it was perfect long-term support where it came down to. You know, right in that 16, 17 area?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what was the other one? CXW?
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to do this real quick because we got to get off. But another one. So, oh, unbelievable. Come all the way down to 13.5 and rallied right back to 21. So the more rational people realized what was going on and said, thank you very much, right, for the opportunity.
That's what I did. I thank you very much.
Yeah, well, there you go. You're welcome. Okay, thanks for calling.
And they also are paying 12%.
Unbelievable.
At this price.
I'll have to take a look at
and
that.
And they reaffirmed their dividend.
Yep. Well, okay. Thank you.
Okie doke.
Take care. Okay, down to the end of the show. Keep a little powder dry. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
You've been listening to The Dollar Doctor Show. Every Saturday morning at 10, Willard Saperstein and Peter Greco answer your questions about stocks, bonds, mutual funds, retirement issues, and the economy in general. The Dollar Doctor Show is brought to you by Saperstein Asset Management, member of the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, SIPC, MSRB. Discussion of specific securities should not be construed as recommendations to buy or sell, either by Saperstein Asset Management or AM 1520 WWKB. The Dollar Doctor Show is rebroadcast on Saturday night at midnight. You're invited to join us again then or next Saturday morning at 10 a.m. on AM 1520 WWKB.